I am Stephen Fontana.
And I'm Andy Asimakis.
And this is Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast Episode 31 for the week of January 29th. Hello everybody, welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens Episode 31 presented by ProvenGamer.com. For those of you who are new here on NDS, Andy and I go over the Nintendo news that you need to know, except this week, which is a very special episode. Andy and I also go over the Nintendo past, present, and future and stuff like that. If you want to be a part of the show, please write into us at NDS at ProvenGamer.com. Remember to rate and subscribe to the podcast on your various podcast hosting services. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/provengamer. We have a bunch of goals, a bunch of tiers. You can support us for as little as a dollar. Please remember, it does actually help us. On this week's show, we actually got to sit down and interview the developers of Dondera, which is a sweet indie title coming to the Switch next week on February 6th. So we got to sit down with those guys. Andy, how have you been, man?
Dude, I am so excited about this interview. It's a first for us, you know? This is we broke new ground on our podcast. We're moving on up in the world. We got actual developers sitting down with little old us to talk about their game. I'm in a good mood. I'm in a great, great mood.
Before we do kick it over to the interview, I'm going to go over just a couple of bullet points that we think that you guys should know going into this week. So the releases this week, very quickly, on the first you have Her Majesty's Spiffing, we have Island Flight Simulator, Night in the Woods, which as part of the Nintendo News Report is actually getting all of the DLC that had come out previously for the game, so it's actually a complete edition of the game coming to the Switch as well. We have Shiftlings Enhanced Edition, we have Skyforce Reloaded, we have Mad Carnage, and then of course the piece de resistance Dondera, which is only $12 on the Switch, Nintendo eShop, whatever the hell they're calling it. So yeah, definitely look forward to that. But really quickly, there's a couple of things that you might want to know. Golf Story's soundtrack is available on, which one was it? It was, shoot, I'm sorry.
At that time on Bandcamp?
I think it was on Bandcamp, but you could get it for $5, which is a pretty good price. Like I said, Night in the Woods. There's this other game that was just announced that they're doing a Kickstarter for it, but it's called Landflix.
Landflix Odyssey.
Landflix Odyssey. It's a spoof of Netflix. It has all popular TV shows, including Game of Thrones, which isn't Netflix, but whatever. There's Peculiar Stuff, which is a Stranger Things parody.
The Standing Zombies, which is also not a Netflix show, but hey, whatever. Popular TV shows is the theme for this game.
Well, they weren't Netflix shows, but they were on Netflix for streaming. Like that's how I watched Game of Thrones. That's how I watched Breaking Bad, which is Going Mad. That's the parody of that. It looks really funny. It looks really interesting. So if you're interested in Kickstarter games and stuff like that, look out for Landflix Odyssey. Quickly scrolling down because this whole episode is going to be about the interview. It's a pretty sizable interview, so we don't want to take too much of your time. There's some updates coming out for Tiny Metal and Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. And really quickly, before we get into this topic of discussion, we absolutely have to go into the hype zone.
Oh, Steve, because I'm so glad you saved room for the hype zone.
The hype zone always gets some love here on Nintendo Dual Screens, except for those two times that we didn't do a hype zone because we couldn't find anything that was good enough. Sometimes you can't force the hype. You know what I mean?
This is true. I mean, we can't make it seem like just anything can be hype zone worthy. Specific news can only be in the hype zone. And this is one of those times. Take it away, Steven.
Ho boy, my friend, Andy. I don't know if you're... I mean, you obviously are a fan, but ladies and gentlemen, Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn, has been listed for a physical release on the Switch. That's right, you could own the cart, the actual cart of Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn. And good lord, did the world need not only this game, but they needed a physical copy of this game. Am I wrong, Andy?
You know, Steven, I gotta say one thing about this game. When I purchase a Switch cartridge, my first thought is, I want to lick it. But this game, it's just so good. I would not do that to it.
No?
You're not. Even though this game looks pretty tasty, and is the one I'd probably want to lick the most.
But listen, Andy.
Yes.
What I've heard, though.
Tell me. Yes.
So you know how they make Switch games taste bad? Like, they put a little bitter agent on it so that kids don't eat it?
Does this taste like Shaquille O'Neal himself?
I have heard, yes. Andy.
Yes.
That they have actually salvaged Shaq's sweat from the foul line.
Oh my god.
And have made it into a fragrance that they are going to lace every single copy of Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn. Incredible news. Incredible news. You heard it here first.
Did you read this game's features? I think this is pretty amazing.
Did I read the features? I feel the features in my heart, in my soul. I know
you can,
I feel the
features. You can battle outlandish celebrity bosses with special skills. Incredible no game news. Has ever done this before.
Not one.
You have power-ups with every nickname Shaq has ever had, from Big Daddy O to Big Diesel. This is what games, this is the path that games have been on. We had Pong, Tetris,
mm-hmm.
Shaq Fu. This is gaming in the nutshell.
Yeah.
This is the holy trinity of gaming as it is in 2018.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree.
Required gaming, rather.
It should be in the Smithsonian.
I mean, Shaq is a national treasure.
If it's not in the Smithsonian, then I don't know.
He himself belongs in a museum. The man is a legend. He's legendary.
And let's be fair. His legend does not come from basketball, because if he was 6'1", he would be nothing. He has no skill in the game of basketball whatsoever, except for being 7'3", 300 pounds. Like, that's his skill. But Shaq Fu is what put him into the stratosphere. It wasn't Kazam or whatever the hell the name of that movie was.
It wasn't his basketball career. It wasn't any of that.
No.
It wasn't his Snickers commercials.
Yeah.
None of that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. His TV sports commentary position on ESPN, none of that.
Nope.
It's all a bunch of noise to me. This man is Shaq Fu. He is a legend, and now a legend reborn.
And it's about time. It really is honestly about time. Anyway, that's going to take us out of the hype zone, thank God, because if we were in the hype zone any longer, I was going to have to just pour water on my face.
Talk about a night in the wood. Oh, hey-o.
Hi-o. Hey-o. Night in the woods. Anyway, we are going to kick it now to our interview with Joe and Lucas from Long Hat House. So bear with us. We are going to bleep-blop, bleep-blop, bloop, and here we go. Hello, everyone. It is our pleasure now to bring you the topic of discussion. It is our pleasure to introduce our guests, Lucas and Joe of Long Hat House. They are the developers behind Dandara. It's a neat little indie title coming to the Switch, PS4, Xbox One, Steam on February 6th. Is that correct, guys?
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. All right. This is super exciting. So this is the crunch time. So why don't you tell us about yourselves. Let's introduce yourselves. We'll start with Lucas.
Okay, so I am Lucas. You guys are going to see that me and João have a very similar background. We met each other at the university, building science, and we wanted to make games. And we started developing games together, and we created Long Hat House as soon as we finished university. And that is our second game.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a surprise for us that it's coming out for all consoles, and it's super exciting for us. Like, this week has been crazy already.
I imagine. Lucas, how are you? Lucas. I'm sorry. You are Lucas. Joe, I'm sorry.
We're off to a great start.
Well, Lucas told everything. I mean, we met in the university. We have pretty much the same background. And that's how Longhead House is born. It's amazing. It's been 2 years. I mean, it's a lot. It's really good that we didn't fail yet. I mean, we didn't stop making games. We're still making games. That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's
been an amazing ride. Yeah.
That's the business, man. You just keep pushing forward, keep pushing until you make it. So you said you've been doing this for 2 years. What are your specific roles? Like, is one of you like a programming guy, or like are you both designers? Like, how does that relationship work?
Well, what we normally do is like we have the tasks and we pick whatever we have. I mean, if it's programming, game design, production things, right? But we have an artist in the team and a musician as well who takes care of their own, their more obvious roles.
I gotcha.
But we take whatever, pretty much what we want, I guess.
Yeah, because we have like the same experience, the same background, we are very equivalent in areas like that we work. We started Longhead doing both, like we were doing art, like it was just us two and we were doing everything. So from art to programming to not music, but audio. Music, we can do that. and then further than that, we got like a musician and an artist. So everything else we do.
Yeah, eventually, when you start a project like this, you start needing to need help outside of what you know how to do and what you can do quickly enough. So
yes.
You start to like branch out and everything like that. So let's talk about the game. Let's talk about Dandara. Am I saying that correctly? Dandara, or Dandara?
I always say Dandara.
Dandara. Okay.
Yeah, I
can say whatever. I mean, it makes sense as well.
Andy tried to tell me how to pronounce it, but I don't.
Before this interview.
But I never believe anything he says ever. So. I had to hear it from you guys myself. So tell us about this game, because I know Andy very well, and this seems like a Andy as hell game. So why don't you tell us about Dandara and where you got the idea and generally what is the game about?
Okay, so me and John, we like to try new mechanics and different game designs and things like that. And when we started the game, we wanted to do something that, we started focusing on touchscreen devices, right, like mobile, and we wanted to bring something that had like action and, the video game feel for that. And so we had a bunch of ideas of how to achieve, like what games we wanted to make. And this game with like a guy jumping around and holding the surfaces, and he would move by swiping the screen. That's how it all started. And then we got like evolving from story and
everything came from the mechanic, like from trying to make exploration and action on third screen. Because in the beginning, Dandara was a very different game, right? And everything, like story and art, everything came around from these mechanics. And then we have like the game we have today.
That's amazing how these things just evolve over time. How long, you said you've been around, you've been doing this for 2 years. How long is Dandara in development? How actively developing this game?
We started on 2015, like
in the end of the talk.
Yeah, October, something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, we had to stop a little bit. We were working full time most of the time, but then we ran out of money, and then we had to work as a freelance for like 4 months, 3 months, and then we got Raw Fury coming in, right, like the publisher. And they helped us out, and we could like focus totally on the game for for like another year.
So I want to talk about the mechanics of the game, because that I've been watching as much in YouTube videos or whatever I can of this, of the gameplay of this game, and it's pretty unique in that you're going up, down, left and right, as far as your surface that you're walking on as your main character, and it's very, very fast paced. So you originally were designing this for touch, so I imagine it was simpler with swiping up, down, just going to the different areas and stuff like that. But was that born just of wanting to figure out an interesting way to use swiping mechanics, or was this something that you just were thinking outside the box, like, how can we do something different? Let's do something with traversal and combat and just combine it in one and see what we can make out of that.
I think both come together, because I think like when you have restrictions, you have to think out of the box to come around them and bring some more like some deeper game design with all the restrictions of like the screen. And it came out that like today we use like almost all the buttons in the controller. Right to play, but you can do everything also on the mobile versions. So I think we came out with like some interesting design, right? That does bring like some mechanics to all the platforms, and it happens to be so different because it came out from a very different environment, right?
Sure. Andy, what do you got?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, this, you guys mentioned Metroidvania is like a core inspiration for this title. I get a lot of Bound to Commando vibes from this, in that game you could not jump and only move around, but in this game you can only jump and you can't move around. So I want to talk about your inspiration in terms of your favorite kind of 2D side-scrolling platforming games, or your favorite Metroid or Castlevania titles, for example.
I think like in the beginning when we were making this game, this touch screen game, it evolved like quickly to a Metroidvania kind of like an explore. I think it happened because in that time we were both starting to play Dark Souls.
Oh yes.
And we loved Dark Souls, so I couldn't stop thinking about it. So quickly made this a Metroidvania, it would be like, and it made sense as well, because you can explore in the touchscreen. It felt like a new thing at the time. Yeah, it's pretty much. And other games too, like Resident Evil, like the rhythm of things. Sure. In Resident Evil are a huge inspiration for us, because you like stop and deal with the monsters. Like there's a rhythm on games like Resident Evil, Killer 7, that inspired us to make, because we needed, in the beginning of the game, we also needed to fix a design problem that was, Dandara was able to shoot whatever on the screen, like if there was a straight line between her and the enemy, she could hit it. And that made a problem, because you could snipe all the enemies before you even touch them. So then we made something like the charging shot that made you dance around the enemies.
Yeah, movement is incredible in this game. Like just seeing it on the screen, just hopping across the screen, luring enemies to one side, jumping behind them, blasting them in the back. It's almost like a ballet kind of. It's ballet combat, if you will. It's really impressive.
Exactly. Yeah, we want to support this movement around the enemies a lot.
Yeah, like the enemies, when we design them, we like to think how you're gonna play like around them, because we also like we were trying to because you can like almost fly around the enemies, you can kind of ignore them if you want to, and then we had like to find enemies that would like somehow block your path or like be dangerous if you are trying to play too fast or like trying to ignore them. I'm sure that speedrunners will still like find ways through them and like find their positions and like, you know, zigzag between them And but when you are a new player and when you are exploring the world, you have to go with more calm and see what's ahead, and then these enemies will dance with you, like you will prepare your jump and you will think like your timing for shooting, and you go like you jump, shoot, and go back or something like that. So yeah, the pacing, like the enemies, they have this pacing thing that we fought. And yeah, that's why I think Sean was mentioning like Resident Evil or other games that inspired us. It has also to do with like the pacing of the game. Not all inspirations came from the classic Metroid bunnies, you know, because there is all of these differences in the pacing of like jumping around instead of like, you know, moving forward and there is an enemy in the floor, you can't through it, you have to fight it, right?
So
then that has the different.
So you're looking at enemies as obstacles rather than like a meat bag, something for you to kill. It's not necessarily something for you to kill to progress. It's something. It's an obstacle for you to conquer. In short, is that basically how you can look at that? Like problem solving. It's a problem that you have. How you solve it. You can go around them, jump around, up, down, left, right. You know, you could blast them away if you could figure it out. But you do have that option that you can avoid some enemy, like most enemies, and just, you know, continue through the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they are like dangerous, and if you go like if you're trying to go fast, they're gonna hit you, and if you don't know the path you're taking, you're gonna get like it's harder, right? But yeah, and also like some enemies you can avoid, and I mean there are other things that come in right now, resources. You get like some resource when you kill the enemy and you use that to upgrade, so there is like a reward, like, you know, getting an enemy and we recovered from Dark Souls some of the mechanics as well. So if you kill an enemy and you come back in the level, he's not there, but if you sleep then they come back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did see there was a bonfire. Is that a little Dark Souls reference you guys got going on in the game?
We have a can.
Yeah. We're trying to do it, yeah. But it's like that as well, and it's also really fun to like go really fast in this game. But if you do it all the time, it actually is not that fun. I mean, If you go really fast all the time in the game, that would be get boring very, very fast. But you really want to do that all the time, and there's like a way to hold the player off and make it really want to go fast as well.
Sure. So I want to talk about. So you were developing this for mobile. It evolved slowly. It became this bigger concept. So you were going to come to Steam. When did the Nintendo Switch come to your heads? So like, when did you decide we want to get this thing on the Switch?
Actually, Switch came first before Steam. The thing is, after we partnered with Rockery, they started playing the game and they were really liking it. And one of the things they wanted us to try was like to see how it would be on consoles and on the controller. And I don't know. I think they were like already, because they were porting these games. There are games to the Switch. Switch hasn't been announced yet, but they were like talking with Nintendo, and like when they got this opportunity for us, and they tried with the controller, and we found like this cool scheme that today I kind of feel that it plays. I have more fun playing with controller today than on the touch screen.
Yeah, me too.
Because you can go pretty fast, and because we played so many times the game, like we went to like speed run it, right?
And we have what, 25 years of gaming without a touchscreen, so our brains are programmed to be using the controller.
Yeah.
So and you can play in the bigger screen, and so I like that. So we tried the controller, and they pitched to Nintendo, and Nintendo really liked it. And also because the Nintendo Switch has like touch screen as well, and you can like fully play the game on the touch screen. So,
So you can just have the tablet.
Yes.
No Joy-Cons. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, not a lot of games do that.
Yeah. So that's I don't think many people will be doing that on the Switch, but. There is the option, right? And we use the
touch screen
to support the screen fully, and that I'm not sure what got Nintendo interested, but they got interested and they showcased this on the Nindies, the first Nindies showcase.
Oh yeah.
So what was it like developing this title for the Switch? Like, how'd you guys handle using the hardware? What was it like for the first time getting into the Switch, developing games for it?
Good. I can say that, emotionally for us, that was pretty awesome. it sounds like a dream come true, and we were like, when we saw the first trailer with the Nintendo, you know, like the click thing, that was like crazy for us. Now, like technically, it was pretty straightforward.
You would imagine that making games for Nintendo would be pretty hard, but. Surprisingly, it wasn't. It was pretty, like, they have, like, support for you, like, the engines are supported as well, so everything was really surprisingly, really straightforward.
Yeah, like, Unity, we are developing Unity now, and the support for Nintendo was pretty, like very soon it was good. Everything kind of worked out of the box.
Yeah, Nintendo and Unity are working together, have been quite some time, and they were developing like for the Switch together and stuff. That would help us a lot.
So you say that you were super excited for it. Is that just because that there's that little place inside your chest cavity where your heart is, and then there's your Nintendo heart? Is that why, like, you just, the kid inside you just couldn't believe that you were gonna have a game on Nintendo?
Exactly, like when I was a kid, my favorite console ever is the Super Nintendo, so yes, so much yes.
So the indie scene on the Switch is absolutely exploding. I mean, we're getting, in some weeks, we get 10 games, 15 games, most of them are independent titles. Does this worry you for your game coming out in a couple of weeks, or does this... is this promising to you? Seeing the cultivation of the indie scene, is this something that you're looking forward to being a part of, or is it something that you were kind of a little, you know, nervous about with so many games hitting the Switch all at once?
Yeah, I think there is both. There is this mixed feelings, right? When this is like so many good games coming out around our launch date. And like so many good Metroidvanias or, you know, like platformers. It's a bit scary. Like but also the indie industry is super cool, and I love like to see our friends' games coming out, and like people that we met at like the event. And we like to see that, you know, indies are now joining the consoles, and they are able to, you know, bring the games into different mediums. So that's both, like, it's a bit scary, but it's also like pretty cool.
It's awesome. So let's talk about your Nintendo history. So I know, Joe, you said the Super Nintendo was your favorite console. What is your favorite Super Nintendo game?
That's pretty hard, but I think it's Chrono Trigger.
Which one?
Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger.
Okay. Oh, Chrono Trigger.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh. So
maybe Yoshi's Story comes right next to it. It's really hard to do that top five things. You're always like changing everybody in the list and everything.
Oh yeah. Well, on Nintendo dual screens, that's all we do is change our minds. Lucas, what about you? What's your favorite Super Nintendo game?
Actually, the Nintendo thing, I wasn't a kid with consoles when I was like younger, and my first console was like a PS4.
Oh, oh my god! Okay.
Poor thing.
I didn't have access to those. Like they were expensive for me, and I always liked like playing at friends' house, things like that. And yeah, so PC was my main.
You guys are based out of Brazil. What's the pricing like with games out there in terms of the consoles and the games themselves?
It's crazy.
I always wondered about that. It's expensive, right?
It's super expensive. Like the consoles, when they come out, they are like unaffordable here.
Oh my god.
I mean, like after a while, like after some years, they got like a level of price. Like Sony has like production inside Brazil, so price is lower faster. But like Nintendo, no.
Used to be. In the Super Nintendo time, used to be like Nintendo produced the consoles here, but still would be pretty expensive, and not all families could get for their kids or something.
Yeah.
Also, like if you get a price in dollars and you convert, like just the conversion is already like expensive for someone in Brazil, right? Like for the games, they are super expensive. Now they got like special prices for different regions, and it makes more affordable.
Digital downloads as well, like help us a lot. And piracy, we pirate everything. Yeah. My Super Nintendo was only pirated cartridges.
Like our youth, piracy was like huge. It's like it was the only way. Like the support and like the consumer experience was better when you pirated than when you.
That's incredible. That's like its own market. You had like your own pirate market down there.
Yeah, you could buy like a CD for PlayStation, and if it didn't work, you just go there and you like exchange it, and it's like you know, it's they would support you. So after Steam, like after the like this services, right? Like getting online, you want to play the games online, and then you can't have like an unlocked console and things like that. I think piracy kind of is dying, you know? Like
sure.
They're getting people buying the games, and the games are more affordable now as well. So
do you have a Super Nintendo Mini? Do you have an SNES Mini?
No.
What the hell? You guys talk to Nintendo like all the time about your game.
Just ask for one. So yeah, tell them for research purposes.
Tell them it's for research. Yeah, tell them it's for research. You never had one as a kid. Get with the program. That's ridiculous. Are you guys coming to the States anytime soon?
Yeah.
John is.
I am going to GDC on San Francisco in March,
and he's bringing a Switch.
I'm finally buying a Switch. I don't have one.
Wait, hold on. You're finally buying a Switch?
We only have like the dev kit.
Oh, you got a dev kit.
Other games.
Yeah, we can't. We tried putting Zelda in it. Like, yes, we're gonna finally play Zelda. No.
It's luck.
Do you guys have any PAX East plans? You guys gonna go out to PAX East?
Not this year.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
Well, when you're ready to announce your next game. You come out there. Yes. Come out here to PAX.
Yeah.
Andy and I are in New York, so we never get to go to any of those crazy things over in San Francisco. So, if you're ever on the East Coast for anything, you look us up, and you know we'll show you the town, and we'll get you a damn SNES Mini.
And I got a spare bedroom, guys. So if you want to crash at my place, you can play some Chrono Trigger if you want.
That's right.
Classic. All the games you missed out on growing up, unfortunately.
But actually, like, because we are working in a, like, this room around us here is it's a hub, like, development hub with some friends. It's, like, three companies. And we have, like, many consoles here. So the guys, like, brought everything from their childhood. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, Nintendo's.
It's like sleepaway camp.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have everything. We use it for like for research, right?
Yep.
And for having fun.
All right. So that's all I have to ask you about the game. What else? Is there anything you want to tell us about your game, or you know, what to look forward to? I mean, it's coming out very soon. It's February 6th. Across all the platforms, that's PS4, Xbox One, Steam, and of course Switch. Definitely looking forward to it. What else can you tell us? What is the thing that sets your game apart from, like we said, there are a lot of these platformers, there are a lot of these Metroidvanias coming out, so the traversal, but what else? What's the heart and soul behind Dandara?
That's a hard question.
Yeah, I actually
give us a quick pitch. Like, if I had one game like this to buy for the year, why would I want to purchase this game above all games that are similar in aesthetic?
I think it plays different from
every other Metroidvania ever.
Yeah,
it's very different. So if you're tired from the same platforming, maybe.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I think like it brings the feeling of like, you know, playing the game, like a different game. For the first time, you have like to learn the controls and
learn how the enemies behave and everything. It doesn't hold your hand. This game, it really expects you to think a little bit.
Oh yeah, but I think what really sets apart is like the feeling of playing something for the first time and like not, you know, like not being so used to the control and learning it and getting faster, becoming a better player in the game, right? Because if you get like the other platformers, you bring all of this baggage of like, you know, jumping and shooting, the normal gameplay of a platform and dashing, things like that. And Dandara is quite different from that, and I think that feels super cool. And then the pacing is very different from other games. You know, like you can stop and, you know, you see a situation and you can figure out to fight those enemies, and like you can go super quick, and like when you backtrack it's super fun because, you know, you zigzag around and you try to move as fast as possible
So you got yourselves an action game, it's a platformer, it's a puzzle game almost, it's a Metroidvania, it's like all of these genres that are just making the hair on my neck stand up. That's crazy.
I was wondering, what about the game's story? We talked a lot about the mechanics, how the game works, the jumping and shooting mechanics. But what about the actual background of what Dandara is? Who is this character? What world is this set in? And those kinds of things.
So the story of the game begins, like, when you press start on it, Dandara gets warm, like, fully formed and adults already. And she has to go through this world called the Salt, which is an abstract world, kind of like the Wonderland that Alice goes.
Oh, okay.
And it's a world without gravity. Like, gravity is like, I don't know, bent. It's a thing in your mind. When you feel the gravity is like from that to that direction, you go to that direction. That's how it works, more or less. And Dandara comes with the mission of freedom. Everybody in this world has a purpose, let's say. And she has a purpose of freedom. And you see this world, like, part of it being really oppressed by the other part, by this army. And then you put two and two together and have to release the people from the oppression. So that's pretty much all the story I'm gonna tell without spoiling anything.
Okay, all right.
It's important to say, like, the game is very mysterious. It has this mysterious setting and we expect people to be interpreting like what's,
it's really what's open to interpretation.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have a story that comes into like the gameplay, and you have like, you know, you do that and you do that, like it doesn't tell you, like you have to explore, it's like a maze, right? You have to explore and find your way to through the game until like you beat the bosses and things like that. So it's not like a story driven experience, right? The story is in the background and the interpretation you can have.
Awesome. All right, well, I think that's all I have. Andy, do you have anything else?
I actually want to get their thoughts on a totally side matter. On the Nintendo Labo, did you guys see that announcement recently? That'd be a cardboard?
Yeah.
So what is, as developers, what are your thoughts on that? Do you see yourselves using that at some point? Maybe have a Dandara cardboard?
I'm really curious to see how it is like and how it
works. Yeah, I really want to touch it, to mess with it a little bit. But I feel like as of now, it's like an infinite possibility thing. Like everyone can develop their own style of game for it, their own like controller for it, really easily, which is really amazing when you come to think about it. Like any kind of thing you want to simulate or something,
yeah,
kind of movement you want to try, you can do it now. But I don't know how it works. I don't know if it's gonna be like games made by Nintendo released each 6 months or something. That would be less interesting than letting everybody develop things for it. I don't know.
Lucas, you wanted to say something?
No, I agree with John. Like, I think that we really like how these different input devices can help, like, to build like games that feel different, right? Like mechanics, and you can play with the game design because we really like that here. So I think if it opens for the developers this possibility of like creating new game designs and like. That's pretty cool.
Well, let's talk about that, because you guys are the creatives. You guys see this application. I'm sure you've already been toying around with different ways that you could do something like this. I know you don't quite know exactly how it's going to work on Nintendo's end, but I'm sure you've given this thought. How would you use Labo? Like, what would you do? What would be your, if you were to make a Labo project, what would yours be?
Oh, that's a pretty hard question to answer. Like,
do you want me to give you an example? Because I was
It's more like we've been watching the trailer, and it's more like the things that we really like the fishing rod and things like that. That looks pretty cool.
Feedback. You guys can get feedback back from the game as well, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So those are the things that draw our attention, but I didn't have a game idea for it yet.
Yeah, because we're like developing Dandara.
Oh, please. Crunch,
and we looked at the trailer, and then we go back to developing Dandara, so we couldn't have time to
That game's done already, it's out, it's all fun. Yeah. You gotta look at three games. I want to know the next three games you guys are working on. All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking time out on this Sunday afternoon. We really do appreciate it.
All right.
You can look.
So amazing.
So thank you. Where could everybody follow you guys on social media?
Long Hat House on Facebook. I think that's the URL if you put everything together. And the @LongHeadHouse on Twitter as well.
Awesome. Yeah, well, we're going to put the links in our show description for the week. We're going to try and post this tomorrow. Depends on the edit, but it should go up tomorrow. I mean, thank you so much for doing this. This is great. This has been a really cool experience to talk to you guys. I look forward to playing the game in a couple of weeks. Again, this is Dandara. It's coming out February 6th. On PS4, Xbox One, Steam, and of course, the reason why we're all here, the Nintendo Switch. Thank you so much, guys. I really
appreciate it. Thank you for inviting us as well.
Of course, yeah. And thanks for being our first developer on the show.
That's right.
Really appreciate that.
That's right.
You're the first.
In case you couldn't tell by me saying the wrong person twice, you know, me being in a random corner of my house, you know.
We are in random corners, though.
Well, thanks again, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
I really appreciate it. Yep.
Best of luck in your launch. I'm really excited about this game.
And the invite is like backwards as well. You can, if you stay, go to Brazil for some reason, you can always
Well, there we go, Steven. We're going to go international.
We got a reason to go to Brazil now.
NDS goes international. Now it's on tape. It's a binding contract, guys.
All right.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Best of luck. Thank you.
See ya.
And we are back.
Wasn't that an amazing interview, Steven?
It was a great interview. I had a blast doing it. Those guys are really cool. They're really chill.
I would say that was the Dark Souls of interviews.
It wasn't nearly hard enough.
Yes, it wasn't.
To be the Dark Souls of interviews.
But in all honesty,
that was the Kirby's Air Ride of interviews.
I would encourage all of our listeners out there to pick up this title at the low price of $11.99. It looks absolutely stunning, and I cannot wait to get my hands on it. I know it's typical Andy game, like we said in our interview.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. I'm a sprite maniac. But
what's incredibly interesting is how, so they speak about how they used. It was originally going to be a touch screen game. It was going to be for tablets and phones or whatever, and they just kept evolving off of it. And Switch is the only place where you can play this in its original form. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to, you can play it in all touch controls, which is awesome. It was part of the first Nindies showcase, and I do remember them saying something along those lines that this is a game that's going to be touch, you know, play, and then people were wondering, well, how are you going to play it on, you know, docked, like, what, how's that going to work? So apparently they redesigned the game from the ground up so they could get it on home consoles.
Yeah, I was looking at an old announcement trailer for this game, and it was originally for Google Play and the iOS store.
iOS, yeah, it was. But honestly, it looks like they took that premise of, you know, maybe to make a quick buck on a mobile title, and like they blew it up into like a full-fledged, It looks like a top tier indie Metroidvania action. It's got it uses traversal in a way that is part of the combat. It's not just a way to move; it's a way to fight, which I think is really interesting. It's got like a Guacamelee vibe to it in that sense, in the combat sense. I really look forward to playing it. But I do want to say, first off, they did not supply us a copy of this game. We are recommending it based solely on what they told us. If we play it and it's not any good, we will tell you that. But we will have more to say about this game on next week's episode.
Yes, this is true.
When the game does, you know, the game is coming out on the 6th. So that is at the end. What is that? Friday?
Mm-hmm.
No. Is it Friday? Yeah, I think it is Friday. So sure, we'll, if you want to wait for that, sure. But look up
videos
of this game.
It's actually next Tuesday.
Is it next Tuesday? Okay. I wasn't sure. Yeah. But that's good. That's fine. Dondera, do it. Retro Game Club, Andy. So nobody won the contest. A member of Proven Gamer actually probably spoiled it. I don't know if anybody caught it, but he said the game. So we're going to carry the contest for next week when we do the Retro Game Club again, I think. Or we're going to hold like a different contest. We'll figure something out. We'll figure out a way to give back to you guys. But the game was Batman, Return of Joker on the NES. So Andy, again, just to recap, you have 14 points. I have 7. We're going to give you the week to play the game. And we'll discuss it next week, and then we'll also play another round. Andy will, you know, give me a game to guess to see if I could. I think I'm going to get it on the first guess. I think I'm going to get 10 points next week. It's going to happen.
Well, how can you be so confident? Yeah, I'm going to throw some trash weird talk. I'm going to throw some weird Deadly Towers 2 shit at you.
Nah, you won't.
You're not going to guess.
You won't do that.
Iron Sword 4.
You don't know
Return of Roger Rabbit.
Iron Sword 3. 4. Interesting. Interesting. Well, that's it for the show, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I know it's a quick one. There wasn't really that much news to go through, so we wanted to keep it short and sweet, get you to the interview, the meat and potatoes of the episode. If you want to be a part of the Proven Gamer family, please go to provengamer.com and click on the Help Wanted tab and fill out an application. There's all sorts of different positions here on the website. Sharpen your skills. Maybe you want to do this for a living, but you could start somewhere. ProvenGamer.com is looking for podcasters. If you want your own show and you have an idea and you're articulate and you want to do something, you can do that. If you want to be a YouTuber, you can do that. A Twitch streamer, you can do that. A writer, you can do that. Anything. We're literally looking for anything. If you just want to be a behind the scenes and work on edits to just sharpen your skills so that you could throw it on a resume, please go to ProvenGamer.com and fill out the Help Wanted tab. We do have other podcasts you may be interested in, including the Smart Marks, which is a professional wrestling podcast. We also have Trophy Horrors, which is our flagship PlayStation podcast. Both of those shows can be found on iHeartRadio as well as every other platform. So we also have Game Stuff, which is a general games podcast. We also have PG Spoilers, which is a podcast that you, the listeners, can be a part of. If you ever want to record your own podcast, just record it and send it to us, and we will put it out as a PG Spoilers podcast for you so you can get something out on the internet. You can follow Andy and I on Twitter. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Special thanks, as always, to Zazu Pitts of Sourno Productions for our theme song, 8-Bit Attack. And thank you, Dan Colonna of Dinosaur Machines Podcast, for our logo. And the hint, hint, he's going to be redesigning our logo a little bit for us so that it could be more useful on like the Facebook page and stuff like that. Because right now our logo kind of looks a little blown up on Facebook, but we are working on that. So thank you, Dan, for that.
Thanks, Dan.
Andy, is there anything you want to say to the folks before we sign off for the
week? Again, just a special shout out to our friends in Sao Paulo, Brazil. From yes, what was that studio again, Steven? Where they're from?
Where are
they from? What's it called?
Studio. It's Long Hat House.
Yes, our friends at Long Hat House for taking time out of their busy schedule to come on our humble podcast to discuss their upcoming title, Dandara. And of course, to all you listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. We always appreciate it. Again, drop us a line at nds@provengamer.com. We love your feedback.
Or go join the Facebook group. I don't think I mentioned the Facebook group.
Steven, please plug the group. What are you good for?
Facebook.com/groups/PGNDS. PG as Improving Gamer, NDS. So go into Facebook group. We're approaching 160, I think. Hopefully we can get up to 200 before March 1st. Let's get up to 200 before March 1st.
Don't do that to me. We can't set those deadlines. I'm all nervous. Like,
we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, folks. As always, please remember, be excellent to each other.